The drive is locked.
Well, hey, boys.
Well, thanks, Laura. We're looking at about 3 hours or 2 hours and 57 minutes, just under 3 hours until the trade deadline ends. Cheryl, Tyler, everybody, all hands on deck, are going to be working hard to catch everything. Even in the middle of Tyler's turds list, he will shut it down if somebody has big news for the
pinch
Astros.
Pinch it off, baby.
Yeah, pinch it off. That's the worst, man. When you gotta pinch that off, I just go on myself.
And then you're just wiping and wiping and wiping.
The phrasing, though, if I got to go pinch one off, is nice.
I have to tell you about how Nick put me in a situation driving back to San Antonio, a mile away from our house, and he just had to pee on himself in the back seat. The situation he
you wouldn't stop for your kid.
I couldn't. This fool. We're sitting in the back, coming back, and I promise we will get to the Astros news.
They don't charge to use public bathrooms, man.
We'll get to the Astros news. We're coming up. We're at the stoplight. One more stoplight to get to my house. We're at the stoplight. I mean, he's giving nothing. Nothing. Just sitting there, man. We've made it all the way back. And he just goes, I can't hold it. I can't hold it. I said, what? I can't hold it. He said, I can't hold it. And I'm locked in. I got somebody in front of me, on the side of me, and in front of me on the other side. I'm just locked in. And he goes, I can't hold it. I can't. I said, what do you mean? Where did this come from? I know you knew you had to go. No, I can't hold it. And the light was red. I said, just go.
You did what?
I said, just go.
Why didn't you just pull over when he went to complain and tell him to get outside and pee
in the grass? Just let it flow, son.
Clint, I could not pull over. I was locked. I was locked in. There were cars all around me and a stoplight. I could not.
And so he just sat back there and pissed himself?
And Trey next to him said, oh, yep, he did it. He had on light gray shorts.
Yeah, Dad, he took you literally.
Because I was going to try to get over. To get over to the grass of the little park. It was a park right there, and I just I'm like, he's five. He's like, I can't hold it. I can't. That's what he's doing. I said, just go. Courtney came out with all the cleaning products right as the garage was lit up, as he went right to the shower to go ahead and take care of himself. I was hot. Oh, it was smoking hot in there. I just said, this could not have just hit you. You know what it was, Clint? He was on that damn iPad.
There you go, the devil.
He was on that iPad, and it just hit him.
He was
and
so
at
deep.
That point,
he was hydrated too. Sounds like
someone said, "Why didn't you just let him out of the car?" I didn't feel right about just letting him out the car at the stoplight.
That's an odd phrasing. Like to pee. Why didn't you pull over to let him pee? The guy, whoever this person is, yes, son, just get out there, get out the door.
Like you know, my mind, Clint, was. Don't you dare pee in that. Don't you dare. But he was in his seat. So, but that seat, boy, it's airing out right now. I said, how did you, like, I know it didn't just hit you. And boy, Trey said, yep, yeah, he's going, Dad.
I don't know if it just hit him, but it just hit his draws. That's for damn sure.
Hit everything. Text line coming in. That was weak show. Tell him to hold it. Teach your man to be a warrior. I think you're a bad parent.
Not good for your health either.
I'm just going to say that.
It's awful for your kidneys and bladder.
I think he's five, man. I would have loved to have tried everything. It was very clear, Clint, he had seconds, not minutes. It was very, very clear. It's very, very clear. That's weak. Okay.
Nicholas.
He's five. Okay, I guess that's weak.
Hey, my 1.5-year-old running around no diaper a couple days ago walked in a room. She done let it two turds on the rug.
Your daughter sharted?
She let it rip. There wasn't no shart to it.
That's fair.
I mean, straight right there on the rug. Had no worries about it until Mama freaked out, and then she freaked out.
Yeah, that was hot. That was a moment, but I really feel like I didn't have any other choice. All right. Sorry, Nicholas. Told your pee-pee story. But here we are, the latest with the Astros. Trade deadline ends at 5:00. We will absolutely be ready and telling you, hopefully, big moves coming up at 5:00 fire. But as of now, this is where we are, fellas. The Astros have made one move up to this point. They have made a trade for infielder Ramon. I heard Lopez pronounce Urias, but he said it in a completely different manner. That I said, well, that's not for me, so I won't try it. It did sound good, but Ramon Urias from the Orioles, infielder. He started 66 games at third base this year.
Grade that one, Tyler. What is it, Ron?
It's a Ramon Urias.
And ain't a passing grade.
Yeah, it's a
I'm
good
just kidding. That wasn't bad. That last one wasn't bad.
Yeah, Ramon Urias.
First one was a disaster, though.
That's all right. You know, we'll catch up. My son just peed on himself in the back of the car. But no, they trade for him. 66 starts at third base. That is the only move they have made right now. Word on the street is reports they are in. They are one of the teams in on Stephen Kwan, the outfielder for the Cleveland Guardians. There's talks, obviously, of the Dylan Cease situation, but those talks have, by reports, cooled. The one that is really interesting to me is Sandy Alcantara, the former Cy Young winner. His ERA is way up there in the sevens right now. He has struggled this year with the Marlins, but he is 2 years removed from winning a Cy Young and was thought to be one of the best young pitchers in baseball. That one's interesting because of the thought that you may not bring back Framber, and maybe he could slide into that role if you can get him right again. But there have been no moves made, with the exception of Urias, who they got from the Orioles. That is the only thing right now. So we will keep you updated on what's happening there. 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch can jump in. How you fellas feeling right now about where the Astros are with the trade deadline looming in under 3 hours?
Yeah, Ron, I'm going to tell you, man, they got to get active. They've got to get active here for...
Hey, man, come on, Dana.
Well, they just got to get moving for me, man. I'm amped up perspective, man. I mean, this team is overperformed. They got a lot of cats coming back. They got a lot of help coming back from injury. To not make the moves that would make you a leader or a favorite, if you will, in the American League. With the American League sitting how it is right now, it'd be a shame to not make the necessary moves to give yourself a chance to go to and potentially win another ALCS. I don't know how well the Astros are going to bump up against some of the National League powers, but right now there's no reason to not feel like you got a shot to make a run at the best team in the AL. And I know Seattle Mariners have made some moves that have significantly improved their team. But just the Astros still got a 5-game lead on them suckers. So I mean, I get it, but man, to not make more moves than just this one here, would hurt a little bit. But this particular move, Urias, I like the move, Ron.
Do you?
I like the move. Yeah. You're talking about a utility infielder, a guy that's got he's got innings at all four infield positions. Most importantly, third base, obviously, for the time being, can play second base as well, has played second base as well, has played a little shortstop as well. So, I mean, I like the move because it actually frees up Dubon to be one of your more consistent answers in the outfield if and when need be. So, I like the move, and you got control for 2 years. So I like the move. I mean, I see the method to the madness kind of deal. It's a current play and a future play, but it just can't be all that the Astros do here leading up to this 5 o'clock deadline.
Yeah, and I think he is probably more thought of as a defensive player.
Definitely is.
Than an offensive player, which still kind of – now, I think you probably feel better about him than some of the Shea Whitcombs and the – Shorts and some of the other guys that they've had to run out there, but still at the plate. This isn't a big. This can't be like the bat they're talking about, Clint. This is a guy that they can play a lot of the infield spots and play third base, but he's not the bat when we hear that's what their priority is.
He's not that. I was reading up a little earlier on it, and I thought there was one idea that was kind of lobbed out there in a sense of like, how do the Astros have to potentially? Now we don't know what's going to happen with Yordan. That's kind of that everything hinges on that. But if you don't get Yordan back and you're not able to make a move for this big bat that everybody thinks is floating around out there waiting for the Astros to call, if you don't get that, then you're going to have to win in a different fashion. You're going to have to go get Dylan Cease, and get Lance McCullers healthy and get some of these guys back and hope all your whole rotation is nails down the stretch. And you're going to have to play to win low-scoring games. And if you're going to do that, what better way to do that? If and when Paredes is ever healthy, you can literally put gold glovers across the damn field, across the infield. So it's more of a defensive play there. I don't know, Ron. It is an interesting play, but like you said, I don't think it's take a competitive team in the American League to a championship team type of move.
No, I think he's, and if you look at their numbers, I think I sent that to you guys earlier. They're very similar. I feel like you just got another Mauricio Dubon type player. Maybe he's not as versatile as a defender, but that type of bat, that type of player, which to them, and I would say more of a minor player, a minor guy. And I'll be honest with you, you start hearing the names of Correa and Arenado and Suarez, who eventually went to Seattle. You start hearing those names. Those are names, Clint, where you're like, all right, those are bats that you can get behind and you can see can make big differences. And we've seen history of those guys making big differences right now. That feels, once you start hearing those names and then you see that's where they went, that kind of takes a little bit of the luster off of it, where it's just like, well, hold on, how did we go from there to this?
Yeah.
To a Dubon level player. And like you said, it puts more pressure on, hey, come on, Dana. You got to get rolling here. You got to get cooking here, because they got to do something. They got to do something to add, you know, to this team, whether it's loading up and getting more pitchers or loading up to get another bat. This right now, if we get to 5 o'clock, Clint, this right now won't be enough to me.
Well, it could potentially, you know, be enough. But you are putting all your chips in the middle of the table of all these guys coming back healthy and being absolute nightmares, right? I mean, in a good way. Like, you're banking on Pena coming back and picking up where he left off. You're picking on you're banking on Jake Myers coming back and being a 300 hitter in maybe the 5 or 6 hole. You're talking about Yordan Alvarez coming back and playing left field and being, you know, the Yordan Alvarez we know at the plate. I mean, you are really banking on those 3 or 4 big dogs. And by the way, Altuve's having a hell of a month. You're banking on Altuve having more months like he's having right now or had right now in July. So, I mean, you are really betting on you know, a lot of unknowns to come to fruition in a positive way if Urias is the only move that they make in the next 3 hours.
Hey, fellas, the most hilarious thing to me in this whole situation is what's being reported with the Carlos Correa thing. Bob Nightingale said the Astros trade talks with Twins shortstop Carlos Correa are all but dead. I just wonder what the Twins people were thinking once this came about. The Astros asked the Twins asked the Twins to pay about $50 million of the remaining $102 million left on Correa's contract, and to include an outfielder as well.
If you don't know the facts, then you gotta shut the.
The Twins rejected the offer and aren't budging. I just wonder what the hell they were thinking when they said, "Hey, man, we need you to hold about $50 million or so. And can you throw in an outfielder for us too? And then we can make this trade with
swing that pot
with Carlos Correa." Man, what you think? What you think they said in Minnesota? What? What? You want us to hold 50? And you? What else do you need? What else would you like? You want us to throw a starter in there too? My God, boy, I think to me when I hear Correa say, These aren't serious talks. That was what was said yesterday from Carlos Correa when he met with the media. The talks aren't serious with the Astros. Hell no, they ain't serious. We need $50 million and an outfielder. Every time they try to get Carlos Correa to stay there, they're trying to get some kind of deal to be sweetened for them. Remember that time they offered Carlos like $100 million?
Yeah, they're trying to win the deal once again. I mean, they are trying to just grand slam this deal.
What'd you say, Tyler? Sweeten the pot. Yeah, won't you add in a... You know what? We'll also take an outfielder if...
you know what? Our fans really want a new hitting coach, too. Y'all got any spare hitting coaches?
Got one of those? let us hold that. You know what? Byron Buxton. Why don't you throw him in? Let that be the outfielder. You throw
Y'all
him.
Y'all got any coupons out there? Like, help us out here.
I died. All right, today is an off day in training camp here for the Texans, but let's kind of take a look back at what we've been seeing a little bit and where we are right now as they have finished a week's worth of practice. That's coming up next right here live on the drive.
You're going to get hit hard if you're playing against us.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyer Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Second down and 12 at the Houston 20-yard line. Bunch formation, wide side right. Richardson, shotgun. Pierce to the short side left. Now Taylor goes that way. Empty backfield on second and long. Richardson to throw. He's got time. He throws to his left. Intercepted inside the 10-yard line. Kalen Bullock with the pick, and the Texans have the rock.
I think we're going to hear that a lot. I think we are going to hear that a lot this season with the Texans. As Kalen Bullock, he's done that a lot already in camp. And they are off today, Clint. A much-needed day off. I'm sure the fellas are enjoying this, putting their feet up, doing their thing on an off day as they get ready to get back at it tomorrow and over the weekend, where fans will be out there to see as well. But as we have reached day seven days of practice into this off day, what things are coming to mind as you look back? And 713-572-4610, you can jump in on this as well.
I think the for the people that don't listen every day or don't just dial into the Texans training camp every single day, just to look back on the first seven practices, you know, the first four were more of ramp up type practices. The most recent three practices were full pads, and just a 30,000 foot overview of Texans training camp. Obviously, the defense is light years ahead of the offense. Obviously, this is a championship caliber defense, and I'll be honest with you, Ron. I didn't hesitate and have a problem saying that coming into training camp, but since we've watched them, It's come to fruition, and it's even more obvious than I thought. I mean, they are more dominant up front. They're faster. They're more physical. They're better in the secondary. I mean, we're talking about the secondary making plays left and right, and Stingley and Lassiter haven't been guys making plays because they just haven't even been tested at this point in time. So the defense is light years ahead of the offense, which is expected. But this defense is absolutely sick, and you know, I would say the install offensively is which we knew was going to be it was going to make for an ugly practice here and there. I think that has happened as well. But the big surprise, I think, for me, big picture again, is just how bad the pass protection has been, Ron. I think we've had probably two days where I felt like the offense won a little bit more and the offensive line held up somewhat for C.J. Stroud, and I don't know if that wasn't more so from play calling and being able to get the ball out of your hand quickly kind of thing. So the first 7 days have I think put the offensive line in a spot where it's been a rough look to start the first week of camp, let's call it that.
That's also been the focus coming into it.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
What is that going to look like? And I do think it is a fair thing, which many people are doing, to kind of point to the success of the defense. It is a fair thing, but As we've talked about it, that is going to have to shift a little bit.
Well, it's easy. It's easy for me though, Ron. I'm not. I'm not concerned about it. You know what I mean? Like the defense is great. Cool. We expected that. It's going to be fun as hell to watch and be a fan of. The offense is struggling in spots where we thought they would struggle. But the reality of it is, if you look at, and you know, I don't know what to make of all of it, but if you look at what we've learned and what we've heard, and some of what we've seen, then it's, you know, we're trending in the right direction. This offensive line is trending in the right direction of getting right.
The arrow's pointed up.
Ron, we've got two legit centers in Houston. You got Jake Andrews and Jarrett Patterson. Those two guys are your centers, and I don't know who's going to win the spot, but those two guys right there are your damn centers, right? Your two guards are your two mainstays that have been with the ones and are really probably going to be the anchors on this O-line. And then you look at the rookie that this team drafted in Ariante Ursary. He's getting run at left tackle and right tackle, and it looks like he's settling into potentially being the starter at the right tackle position. The O-line coach, Cole Popovich, we didn't know anything about him other than he was an assistant O-line coach with a nice little resume leading up to this year. And I've loved everything that I've heard from him. I've loved everything that I've heard from the offensive line about his approach and what he's doing different and what he expects, the standard that he's trying to set. So while I think it's been kind of slow this first week of training camp, I do like the direction of the offensive line as a whole.
I will say what I've liked. I don't know if I can get with you on that one. But what I have liked, Clint, is I do like – now, we haven't seen a lot from the running backs that will – outside of Nick Chubb and maybe a little Woody Marks, but at least the perimeter, the tight ends and the receivers, there's a lot of new pieces there to go along with the new system. I like what I have seen from the wide receiver group and the tight end group. I don't know about you. I know the tight ends are a group that you have been watching, but like Higgins, Noel, Kirk, Brevin Jordan has really stood out. Those perimeter players, tight ends and receivers, to me, have really jumped in.
Well, I'm with you on the tight ends. I'm not there on the receivers yet. I think we are top heavy. I got confidence, obviously, in Nico to have a monster year if need be. I've got confidence that Christian Kirk is going to be a piece there that is an answer to the pass protection issues, as well as we've seen some of that explosiveness out of him. I like that look. The others is where there is some tremendous competition, and I don't know what to make of it. You know what I mean? I like the future of Higgins. I like the big body, the length. I like the the playmaking ability, but is that going to come to fruition his rookie year? I don't know. I like what we've seen from Noel. How many opportunities he gonna get with this tight end group and with Christian Kirk and all these guys if they stay healthy? I don't know that middle of the pack, if you will, in the wide receiver room. Let's call it 3 through 5, man. I don't know. I need to see a lot more from those guys to get confident. But that tight end room, I told you, man, the ceiling is really high, and I think that can change the game for this offense.
Yeah, I just think those guys. I like the potential there, and I think you're clearly seeing a slide down and a separation of between, I think, Nico and Christian Kirk to get to Mechie and Hutchinson. It used to be those groups were thought to be a lot closer. I do feel like at least with Higgins and Noel, there is a real potential for those two that I kind of like, that you're not moving to really potentially have to depend on Mechie and Hutchinson, which this team has had to before, and it's felt like the ceiling is kind of low when it comes to the wide receiver group. It feels like it is a little higher with these young guys.
Well, if they come ready year one, they're ready to do everything, be trusted enough to line up where you're supposed to line up and run the damn route you're supposed to run and, you know, all that kind of jive, then yeah, I mean, absolutely. But again, you're gambling there.
You're gambling, but they're also not expected to be Brian Thomas Jr., right? They're not
sure.
They're not going to be expected to come in and be an absolute major part. Like they are probably going to be asked to be compliments. And I do kind of like where they are in that space. All right, coming up, some good news and, well, some unsurprising news that is bad news with the Astros. We'll let you hear and talk about the good news coming up first. That's next right here live on The Drive.
It's a panty dropper.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Shout out to Liam Neeson. He looks very happy with Pamela Anderson.
He looks so smitten.
That's a nice move, man. Nice move for him, man. And I appreciate it. As you said it before the break, Tyler, Pam in an odd time looks like her age, and I respect that.
Yeah, no, same here. I don't think she looks bad. It's just I saw her, and I was like, whoa, Pam Anderson actually looks like her age.
I like that.
She's aged a bit, huh?
Stop the plastic surgery and
stuff. Yeah, that's what it is. It's not that she's aged a bit. It's just you start to look at maybe some other ladies her age that are in the business. They have done some things to keep themselves. Like, what is Pam? I know J-Lo's 52 years old, and I saw her out there, and like, come on now. And there are some others who have gone and done the work, but Pam looks good. Shout out to Pam.
Pam is 58.
Yeah, Tom Lee, who's insanely jealous of Liam Neeson, but...
Oh, I don't think so, because do you know Tommy Lee's current wife?
See, I disagree with that.
Bro, she is bad.
I'm not saying she's not bad.
Who's he married to now?
Brittany Furlong.
God, he's got first and last, Clint. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he's not happy and he's got something, but there's still maybe a little twitch. For as crazy as him and Pam were together, there's still maybe a little twitch.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I mean? Like
they had a sex tape.
Damn, man. You kind of thought that was going to be there forever, and she went to dude from Taken. Now there's a little bit of like, damn.
Tommy Lee's over here. I will find you.
I think if Timberlake is really happy with Jessica Biel, but if Britney ever put it together again and she started,
that's a great comp. That's a great comp. Like there's got to be baggage there lingering for years and years to come.
No chance.
Britney has
killed every chance she ever had with Timberlake.
She's a little nuts now.
You don't think there's a little bit of like
there ain't nothing that good in America or in the world.
You don't think, but they were young, man.
He wrote Cry Me a River.
Yeah, he did.
He wrote the song for her. I mean, like I said, he's happy with Seventh Heaven. He's happy with Seventh Heaven.
Have y'all seen that lunatic on social media?
Yes. Oh, yes.
I mean, not only is she crazy, she's unattractive.
I like her twirls.
The whole thing is unattractive. You know how bad you got to be unattractive if you're Britney Spears? Like, you know how bad, you know how awful you got to be to screw that up? And she's somehow done it. No way. Timberlake, she ain't got a chance with Timberlake.
She does not. You're right. She does not have a chance with Timberlake, Clint. But I'm saying if Justin would look at her a little bit and be like, well.
It don't matter how good it is.
That was supposed to be the one.
Clint, they wore matching blue jean outfits together.
There's no way he looks at that and goes, yeah, she still has that in the tank.
Oh, man, they were young. There's baggage.
No chance. For a split second.
All those emotions you feel in a relationship at that age, the teenage hormones just roaring inside you. Like, that. There's something still there.
My teenage hormones roared for about 40 years, but I'm just telling you. I mean, it ain't.
I think there are a lot of fellas that are listening right now that can relate with the thought of, like, no, I don't want to be with her no more. Yeah. But, you know, I see her like, oh, okay. She with him now, huh? It's a number like
feelings.
That.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And then there's those ones you look at and you go, boy, that poor bastard.
What the hell was I doing?
Boy, hey, holler at me, homeboy. I'll save you some real issues.
I got one of them down in Baytown.
Steel?
I think you know her.
Text line coming in. Jessica Biel's insanely hot. Yeah, what are we doing? No, I don't disagree, but there is a she with him now, huh?
That scene in Chuck and Larry.
I don't think Timberlake ever says, "Huh, she's with him now, huh?"
I think
Timberlake sees it and goes, "Boy, if he only knew." Boy, that poor son of a gun, man. What is, I mean, she's got another victim.
You think Britney ever thinks about Kevin Federline anymore?
Kevin thinks
I think
about
she
her.
Thinks about every past piece she's ever had and wishes she could have it again.
Now, has I mean, molds listen, of them.
Someone texted in, after Britney shaved her head, that Timberlake said, "Hell no." Listen, that was a tough time, and the knives thing, but I still think he may look at her and be like, "I don't know."
Yeah,
like, just like I don't want to be with her. I want Jessica. I love our life, but
yeah.
She with him now.
And with the hair, I mean, this is Timberlake. This is a guy who dyed his hair like ramen noodles.
I think that's what Tommy Lee's thinking. I think Tommy Lee sees her with Liam Neeson, and I think he popped on the tape just to bring the memories back.
Well, and he's probably pretty secure and confident in the fact that he most likely has a bigger member than that Irish fella.
Well, who doesn't?
Tommy Lee is, he's blessed.
All right, someone else who's blessed, some good news last night for the Astros, and that is this happened last night for the Cowboys. Jeremy Pena, who got, hopefully, fellas, his final start before he comes to the big club. This is what happened last night.
It's a panty dropper.
Two outs, first offer to him, and Pena hits it high in the air, deep to left, and that one is gone! That's what the people showed up for tonight. Jeremy Pena, a solo shot to left. I think the swing looks pretty good. 6-1 Space Cowboys on the blast by Pena.
Well, in the last at-bat, he hit it very well.
Ass out right now and put his ass on a plane or however they're going to get him to Boston. That's exactly what they should have done. They should have took his ass out right then and there and got him on there. How about it? Got a homer. Two games now. Jeremy Pena should be in Boston. He should. I'll be honest with you, Clint. His ass should be in the lineup tomorrow.
Oh, I don't disagree one bit. I don't disagree one bit. You got a travel day here. Let's get him on a jet and get him up there. It's simple. Yeah. It's a no brainer. By the way, the sound effects on that bomb he hit, that was different.
That was do it for you.
That was powerful. I don't know if it was how quiet the field was, or if it was literally, because it was, wasn't that a little kind of a little ball up in the strike zone, and he just melted that sumbuck. It sounded almost fake. That was beautiful.
Yeah, it sounded normal, but I'm glad it done it for you.
Listen to how distinct or how clear and deep it is.
Two outs, first offer to him, and Pena hits this high.
Damn, you're right.
I didn't hear it.
It almost sounded like somebody doing the sound with their mouth.
That's what I thought. It sounded like the guy was sitting there next to it and did it. Yeah, that was good. You're right.
It was crisp. Crisp is what I was looking for. That wasn't just faint in the background. That was one of them like make you sit up in your seat kind of pops. That was
a
nice
good catch, Dirty. That was a pop.
That was very good. Very good. By the way, if the Astros were looking for one of the names, Clint, that was attached to them, Cedric Mullins, the lefty, left-handed bat from the Orioles, center fielder. He is going to the Mets, so he is off. He is off the market. So that was a bat that we heard connected with the Astros. Cedric Mullins, he is going to the Mets. That just announced as well. I did want to give an update on Isak Paredes. By chance, this coming from our guy, Hotel Bobby Nightingale. By the way, he was on with Area 45 last night. I suggest you go back and check that out. But the Houston Astros are now bracing themselves to be without third baseman Isak Paredes for at least 6 to 7 months with his torn hamstring. The hope is that he can be ready by opening day 2026. And Clint, I would just pose this again. Remember, Dana Brown said, yeah, guys, it seems like the Paredes injury is worse than what we initially projected. What the hell did they initially project?
I think you can just say that about all the injuries with these people.
I know that, but what did they initially project if it's 6 to 7 months?
I think maybe it was like 43% strained or something.
I'm just saying, what did, like, this is
freaking idiot.
This I'm just saying, Clint, if it's torn off like this 6 to 7 months, what could have been the initial assessment of it?
No, look, I don't know. I mean, this is one that my little homie over at the residential hospital here in Houston is not going to be able to help. It's, I mean, the operative word there in what you said was torn. I mean, this is not a strained hamstring. This is torn, and it takes obviously a significant amount of time to repair that joint. I mean, and that sucker is what I meant. That muscle, not the joint itself, but. That's bad. That is, wow.
I would assume
it makes the ureus move look even better, by the way.
Well, yeah, it makes it make more sense, at least right now. Ellie may not be ready to start of next year. 6 to 7 months is what they're bracing for. But initially, the way this would sound, initially, they felt like maybe it wasn't that bad. And now... He's up here going to get second opinions, and now we're getting 6 to 7 months.
Yep,
it's a disaster.
Yeah, it's
what do you think they look at it and say, man, I got a strain here. What you got?
Is it completely torn? Is it torn off the muscle? Is it off the bone? What's going on here?
Strain, maybe 15 days.
God. I think maybe Paredes just with very sound advice just said, I don't really care what y'all say or what your results are. I'm going to get my own results.
I got a little bit of Astros news here for you if you want it, Ron.
Well, hell yeah, we do.
No,
yeah,
nothing breaking necessarily or anything like that, but just about 30 seconds ago from MLB insider John Heyman, you've heard him on this show before, he just tweeted out the Astros aren't completely off the Carlos Correa trade. Still talking to Twins right now at 2:53 on Thursday. A lot of finances to work out, however, John Heyman says, but the Astros still in pursuit of Carlos Correa.
Hey, Ron, that's one of them deals of like, y'all at least stayed on the phone. Like, you didn't slam the phone down in my face when I said 50 million and an outfielder. Like, y'all considered that? Oh,
come on,
okay,
Dana.
Well, let's talk.
Come on, Dana. Or maybe Dana has come and suggested something more that makes sense.
Well, guess what I'm saying? But that's the deal, though, right? I mean, the Twins at that point should have slammed the phone down and been like, y'all ain't serious. No, don't ever call us again, right? I mean, obviously that they entertained it to some degree if Dana's back in the mix with Carlos Correa.
And by the way, what if I say no to that request? Can I give you some Astros news? You know what? No.
I would just turn your mic off and do it anyway.
Yeah. I've got some Astros news if you want it.
You lost Ron. Hey, by the way, here's...
You know what? Actually, I'll pass, and I'll do the tease.
Bad connection or something up there with Ron. We'll get him back.
I'll pass on that. So we'll see. We'll see if that gets a little bit more.
Not now.
More
maybe
serious.
Later.
Maybe. We'll see. All right, coming up, this isn't in the loop, but, Clint, I've been holding this back, and I feel like this is the time to have this conversation. I have a confession that I have been leaning towards, and this is going to be one, fellas, where I know that I'm probably going to get a little heat from listeners, but I can't hold it back any longer. We'll do that coming up next.